Your Bible, open up to Psalm 19. We're going to have a look at Psalm 19. It's definitely one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. You know, sometimes you hit a spot in your life and then the Lord gives you something, doesn't he? He gives you something from his word, or he gives you a chapter, or he gives you a Bible, he gives you a passage or something that encourages you a lot. So let's have a look at Psalm 19. Hopefully I can give you something tonight. I don't have full pockets here, but you've all got a Bible. I'll give you Psalm 19. That's pretty good, isn't it? If that's not enough, then you can have Psalm 119. That's even bigger. And Psalm 19 is just like Psalm 119, but shorter. If you got Psalm 119 and boiled it down and got what was left, you'd end up with Psalm 19 about it. It basically says the same thing, but a lot longer. Read it yourself and you'll find that out. Let's pray before we start, and then let's look at this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you that we can come and meet, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace, Lord, that you have given us, Lord, and for how you help us and encourage us and bless us, Lord. And we just pray you bless us now as we look into your word. Teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's read Psalm 19, the whole chapter. It's only one chapter. It's not very long, probably more than some people read in a week. When I'm in New Guinea anyway, I won't say that you guys don't read your Bibles, but when I'm in New Guinea, they use the excuse of I can't read. So anyway, let's read this. Psalm 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." If you study this passage, this chapter, and you look at it, you can see you'll find it's broken up. I've broken it up anyway, into about four different parts. Different chunks talk about different things. We've got verses 1 to 6. It's talking about the heavens declaring the glory of God, the sun, and everything like this. Verses 7, 8, and 9, it's talking about the word of God. It's talking about the law. It tells us what it's like. It tells us what it can do. The next verses, it's telling us how we are to love the Word of God, how it's our greatest possession, our greatest treasure. And the last part of it, the last three verses, end in a prayer that David has written, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." We won't have enough time to go through all of this chapter. It'd be really fun to. But maybe if I'm allowed to ever preach here again, we could do a part. Maybe I should. Will I ever be allowed to preach again, Pastor? Well, if he says no, we're going to have to rush through the whole chapter. But we'll see how we go. Let's look at verse 1 and let's get talking about this. Let's use our imaginations. Does anyone know how to do that? Does anyone know how to think? I know how to think. That was really funny. Now, let's get away from that. Let's use our heads and actually think. Let's actually look at what the Lord has got here. Let's look at this. Ready? Let's go through this. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. Who doesn't love it when you walk outside and there's a big moon and it's awesome? And you do, how many? I've walked outside. It was on Friday night, actually. I came out to get the kids from youth group, and there was a big yellow cheese moon coming up. You know how they're sometimes bigger and yellower on some nights than other nights? That's what it was like on Friday night. Did anyone see that? And you walk outside, and you go, I should spend more time outside. Have you ever done that? No, I'm the only one. All right. Well, you should try it sometime. And when you're walking across and it's a full bright moon and you don't need a torch, you don't need lights, you just can see almost, you can see it's like as bright as day. It's so awesome. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. God has shown himself through creation. I'd like to talk tonight about the sufficiency. I should have started this before. I always start with the heading in the middle of the sermon. The sufficiency of Scripture. God's revealed himself through his word, but he's also revealed himself through his creation. He's revealed himself through creation, and it is sufficient to condemn. Isn't that serious? That tells us in Romans chapter 1, it says that they're without excuse. Let's go there, let's go there. Romans chapter 1 and this passage go together. And the heavens declare the glory of God. Romans chapter 1 tells us that everyone is without excuse. They're without excuse. If you read chapter 1 of Romans, it's very kind of fearful at the same time, but it tells us that they're without excuse. Verse 20, you go through and read the whole chapter, but verse 20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They're without excuse. People are without excuse. No one can stand before the Lord and say, I had no idea there was a God. That's a scary thought. That is a scary thought, isn't it? That is a real scary thought. And you answer these kinds of questions to people, and they, like when I'm in New Guinea and the youth group has asked me questions and they say, what about our Toomboona line? What about all our ancestors and all these people that lived in the bush and lived out there? Way out, and there wasn't a missionary. Missionaries only came to New Guinea in the 40s. What about all those years before? And I say, sorry. But they say, would they go to heaven? And I say, well, no. And I said, but they didn't have a chance. I said, well, actually, the Bible says this. And creation is sufficient to condemn. And only God's word is sufficient to save us. And that's what verse 7, 8, and 9 are going to talk about. But let's just look at a few things here about the heavens and the first chart at start of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, day unto day out of speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. God shows His power and his glory through all of these things. The moon, how it cycles. You know, I am so anti-evolution, okay? I just think they're absolutely ridiculous. I will freely mock them in the pulpit and if you talk to me, okay? I think it is absolutely one of the most ridiculous theories that was ever created by the devil. It is a conspiracy. Oh, that's pretty weird, hey? You know what? It's Satan's conspiracy, isn't it? Oh, we're not going into conspiracies now. But do you know what a conspiracy is? The people at the top know what's true and they tell the people underneath something else, right? Well, do you know what? Satan knows what's true because he was created and he rebelled against God. He was there in the garden and he couldn't pull that one on Adam and say this isn't true. But that's an interesting thought, isn't it? And we won't go into that. Conspiracies, definitions and stuff. But anyway. Hey, creation is pretty amazing, and it declares the glory of God. And the day on today out of the speech, everyone sees it. Everyone has seen the sun. It says there's nothing hid from the heat of it at the end of verse 6. Everything is there. Now think about the universe. And I love talking about this. And I love thinking about this and trying to make it fun for people to think about. So ready? Get your thinking caps on. Have you ever thought about how big space is? Wow. What if you went to the moon? That'd be really cool. That would actually be really cool, though, wouldn't it? What about going to the sun? You couldn't do it. You'd melt. But anyway. But how big our galaxy is. And you know those pictures, kids in science, or you're homeschooled, you probably never saw these pictures anyway, because homeschoolers don't do school. But if you went to school, I'm a homeschooling parent too. I know what it's like. Don't shoot me until later. You know it's true. Those posters, you see those posters of the solar system? Have you seen them? They're a black bit of cardboard this big. Picture of the sun in the middle this big, and it's got the rings around it showing where all the planets go. And you got, what have we got, people, kids? What have we got? What planet is closest to the sun?
Mercury.
And then?
Venus.
And then? Oh, some people said Mars. Are you kidding me? And what's after? And then?
Jupiter.
Cool, we should get one of these posters anyway, just for church. And have you ever seen the scale of that? And I love this. I watched this video on it. And this guy, he did a scale model of the solar system, supposing putting the Earth as big as a marble. He shrunk the Earth down. This is the scale. He had to go out into the desert in America, out in some massive big salt lake, so he could do a scale model of our solar system, having the Earth the size of a marble. That big. If I had a marble, I could do this. And that would make the sun a meter and a half diameter ball. That's pretty massive, eh? And the distance of the Earth-sized marble from that ball was like 167 meters. It's just lots of kilometers. I couldn't be bothered thinking about it right now. That's where Earth is. And do you know where... What's the next last planet? What's the last planet? Oh, when I went to school, Pluto was the last planet. It's not anymore for some reason. Have you noticed that? Did you know that? Did all the adults know that Pluto is no longer a planet? Conspiracy theory. It's not really there. But Neptune, do you know how far away Neptune was on this scale model of the sun being in the middle of this desert, and he drove rings around it, and they set a time-lapse camera up on the mountain looking down on it, and they drove around at night on all the things and for their headlights on. It looked really cool. And from the sun, which was a meter and a half ball, Neptune was 5.5 kilometers away. That was just to get that scale. Think about, you can't get that scale. We look at these posters and they're so piddly and so small, and a million of our Earths can fit inside of the sun. Tell me that's not amazing. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. God just made it by speaking. And you read Genesis and he just says, he made the stars also. And that's crazy. We are talking about phenomenal sizes, phenomenal distances, and phenomenal speeds. Things are moving. Things are moving at crazy speeds. And you know how you watch this? You see those posters, and you look at those rings, and there's the sun, and there's the planets, and it's just sitting there. Well, do you know, it's actually a whole lot more interesting than that. It's way more exciting than that. Because, tell me you already know this. It would be half my sermon done if you already knew this. Do you know where I'm... Do you know what the sun is doing? Do you know the sun is moving like crazy fast? The sun is moving. I got that written down because it was way too many numbers to remember. Our sun is moving through space at about 720,000 kilometers an hour. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Our sun, so you see those pictures of those big black balls, and it's just sitting there, and you got the circles, and it's just sitting there flat, and you just think, oh, we're just sitting there going around the sun, but it's actually not like that at all. The sun is going like so fast it's ridiculous, you can't even imagine it. We are going at about 200 kilometers per second. We're not where we were when I started preaching today. Think about that. And the sun is pulling our solar system through space like this, and we're actually spiraling around the sun as we go. Oh, isn't that exciting? On about 60 degrees. So it's not even flat, it's not even like this going through space, it's like this. So sometimes we're behind the sun, sometimes we're in front of the sun. Oh, isn't that amazing? And you know what they reckon? That as the sun goes around its circuit in the Milky Way, do you know how long it'll take? About 230 million years for the sun to do its orbit around the Milky Way. Think about that. Look at what the Bible says here. Let's look at this. Verse 4, it says, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for a son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. I don't know if David knew what was going on in the galaxies back then, but God just gave him the right thing to write down. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Verse 6, it says, his going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. Did David know that the sun was going around the Milky Way back then? I don't know. We're getting dumber, I'm pretty sure of it. But God gave him the right thing to write, and scientists are only just discovering these things. Isn't that amazing? The heavens declare the glory of God. The scripture is sufficient to condemn people to eternity in hell, but the word of God is sufficient to save. While Pastor was preaching on Wednesday night, he was preaching on Wednesday about Joshua, who was fighting the battle against the Amalekites. Where is he fighting the Amalekites? Can you hear me, John, through the door? Hello? Yeah, John, radio check. He was fighting the Amalekites. And you know what Joshua did? He prayed that the sun would stand still. Ooh, and I was thinking this last night. I'm thinking about Psalm 19. And I'm thinking about Joshua praying and the sun standing still for about a day. And then I'm thinking, the earth is ripping through space at 720,000 kilometers an hour. We're spiraling around it like this. The earth is traveling at about, I got that one written down too, it's really interesting. As we go, we are going at about 107,000 kilometres as we orbit around the sun. While we're corkscrewing through space, while we're orbiting on our little axis rotation day-night thing, you know. And at the equator, the Earth is spinning at about 1,600 kilometres an hour. That's really hooking, isn't it? What do you think about that? It has to be going that fast. The Earth is about 40,000 kilometres around the equator, and it only takes 24 hours to go 40,000 kilometres. That's pretty fast, isn't it? Ooh, my car's got nothing on that. And you know what? God made it so good, you can put a glass of water on it and it won't even spill. Yeah. You try putting a coffee cup on the top of your car and driving off. Who's done that? Was it there at the end? You won't even go on 720,000 kilometres an hour. The heavens declare the glory of God. Think about that. And then think about those things that happen in the Bible. From Wednesday night when Pastor was preaching that, I was thinking there's actually a few solar events that happen in the Bible. There's that one where Joshua prays and the sun and the moon stood still for about a day. And I was thinking about that and I was wondering what happened there. Did the sun just go and stop? Did the earth just stop rotating and everything? It just kept... That's pretty amazing. Or the one where the king was sick and he prayed and he wanted the sundial to go back 2 or 3 marks. Well, when you know about... Wow, God's pretty powerful, right? What can you do when you're thinking about these sizes and these scales? And our sun is just an itty-bitty sun like this big, and then there's suns that is like as big as this building compared to our sun out there. It's just like crazy. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. God made the stars also. Amen. Yeah, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Let's keep going down here. Let's look at verse 7. Verse 7, 8 and 9, we're talking about the sufficiency of Scripture. And here we have some titles for Scripture. Do you know what? I'm going to be a teacher because I got a new job and I work in a classroom, so I'm going to practice my teaching skills today. And I'm going to try and teach you something. And I like whiteboards, blackboards. In New Guinea, we had a blackboard, chalk. How old school is that? Scratchy, gives you goosebumps when you're writing. All right, we got six. And you should write this down, people. Write it down in your books, take notes. Six titles of Scripture. There is six characteristics. I'm not even going to need to preach this chapter again. I'm going to get it through it. What did I write? That's why I'm not really a teacher. And there are six benefits of Scripture. And I believe that's a big part of this chapter that we're looking at here in verse 7 and 8 and 9. Let's have a look. So we looked at the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, the creation. They are without excuse. Everyone is without excuse. No one can stand before God because it declares his eternal power, even his Godhead. And the heavens and the universe and God's creation is just amazing. And then we have the Scripture, which is sufficient to save. It is sufficient to save and completely change and convert a man. It can completely change a person. Think about that. Think about this. Ready? Look at this. We got six. You can study this out. We won't write heaps of notes up on the board. We'll just write some. Some. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect. So we got a title. We've got the law. We've got it's perfect. It describes what the characteristic is like. And look at what it does for us. What does it do? It converts the soul. Okay? And then if we have a look down, there's heaps of them here. There is six of them. There is six of them. And it says the testimony of the Lord. The testimony of the Lord. What is it? It is sure, making wise the simple. Makes people smart. You know, I actually tried to tell the kids in school that the other day. I'm working with the grade eights. They are full of wisdom. Oh, is there any grade eights here? Don't put your hand up. Don't admit it. The Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. Right? And it does. And it makes wise the simple. And when you study the word simple, and if you look in the Greek and the Hebrew and do all this kind of stuff, I don't really know much about it, but you look it up. But it was really interesting when I looked up the word simple, and it said open-minded. Ha! Huh. It is not cool to be open-minded. Get that? According to the Bible, it is not cool to be open-minded. You should be a little more open-minded, man. Do you know what he's saying in the Hebrew? He's saying, dude, you should be a whole lot more simple. Or, you know, if you said to a Hebrew person, I'm open-minded, he'd say, shut it! Get smart. The Word of God gives us wisdom. It makes us wise unto salvation. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? It makes us wise unto salvation, whereas the philosophy and the thinkings and the teachings of this world make us dumb and say, God didn't do it. This all happened by chance. Good picture for this is, I'm going to do it in the class. Give him a dice. How many sizes does a dice have? These grade eights are real smart. He'll probably fall for it. Roll this dice until you get an eight. Come on, mate. You've all done maths probability, right? Just roll it for a few hours. You'll get there eventually. Roll it for a few million years. You might get an eight eventually. It's impossible, isn't it? It's impossible. But Scripture makes us wise unto salvation. Look what it says, verse 8. It says, the statutes of the Lord. All right, I'm supposed to be writing all these down for you. The testimony. And then, what was the next one? The statutes. What does this one do? It makes us wise. I'm all out of order here. Sorry, people. This will be easier. They are right. Okay? And they make us wise. The statutes of the Lord. Oh, I put that in the wrong spot. The statutes are right. the testimony is sure. There we go. And then the statutes rejoice the heart. They rejoice the heart. You know, you can find some comfort in this world. Like I said before, you hit a hole in your life, or you hit a pit of depression, or you hit something like this, and you just hit rock bottom, don't you? And you read God's word. One time, I was so discouraged and so distressed. I was just like, it was like one of the worst days of my life. And I was just down totally altogether. And I was just, I couldn't do anything. I just couldn't do anything. I was just reading and I was reading and I was reading. I was trying to find some wisdom. And I was reading through the Old Testament, just reading, 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 reading. I think I spent about 4 hours just reading, 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 just praying, going, Lord, just show me something. Just encourage, like, and then the Lord gave me a passage. I came across this, oh, I could tell you a whole other story about this another time. It would be maybe interesting, but it was it rejoiced my heart. It gave me peace. I was in this situation which was absolutely terrible, which I'm not going to describe to you right now because we have a meeting after this, so I'm going to stop pretty soon. And I was just hit the God just showed me a passage, and Sarah comes down and she sees me and she goes, Chris, what are you going to do? And I said, nothing just yet. And she's like, why? I said, because I found this and the Lord's just showing me something. And it rejoiced my heart. The statutes of the Lord, it was right. And they're true and they don't change. And they're not a theory. They're not subject to change. When I was at school, Pluto was a planet and now it's not. When we were at school, evolution was a theory and now it's a fact. And it changes. When I was at school, the earth was only some millions of years old. Now it's some billions of years old. It didn't. But God's word doesn't change at all. And it makes us wise unto salvation. And it converts the soul. It has power. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You've got nothing in this world if you don't have God's word. Let's keep going on down here. The statutes are right, rejoicing of the heart. The commandments of the Lord. I can't write fast enough. I talk so much more than I can write. The commandments of the Lord is pure. Isn't that great? And it enlightens the eyes. It enlightens the eyes. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It's clean. Enlightens the eyes. Have you ever been reading through the Bible? Our pastor was teaching in Sunday school this morning about the authority of Scripture. And you read the Bible and, you know, God shows us things and we're growing and we're constantly growing in our Christian lives. And it gets down here, actually. Let's read this verse down here. Look at what it says, verse 13. It says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You know, we just do things all the time. Our life, we're sinners, we're sinful people. We do things wrong all the time. And as you're growing and you're reading the Bible, God shows you something. And you go, ooh, I better change something there. And your eyes are open. You know what Paul says? He goes, I didn't know that this was sin except that the Bible showed me it was sin. You know, it enlightens the eyes. It shows us what it does. This is what Scripture can do. It can completely change and convert and save. It is sufficient to save and completely change a person. That's a testimony, isn't it? Amen? You can't do it. We can't do it. I can't do it. No one can change themselves. We need God's word. Let's just get through here. We've got the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord, it is clean. Talking about worship, we're thinking about reverence. Do you fear the Lord? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? Great one for parents. Teach your kids that one. Fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. God endures forever. Fear of the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? I mean, when you think about the heavens declaring the glory of God, when you're thinking about what God can do, when you think about God being the judge. Have you noticed that most of these are all talking about law, testimony, statutes, commandments? Sounds a bit legalistic, doesn't it? God's the judge. He's righteous. Look at what the last one says. Sounds even more judgmental. What are the judgments of the Lord? The judgments of the Lord is true and righteous. And you know what? That is really comforting. And it is also really scary. God is the ultimate judge, and you can't pay him off. When you're in New Guinea, man, you can pay off the judge, the court, the police. You can do whatever you want. Give them a bit of food on the side. Do you know when they vote? I heard some crazy stories about voting. Campaign time is bad. And they'll get roll up cash and shove them in a chicken and cook a chicken, shove a chicken in there and go up to the people counting the votes and the politicians and here you go. And that's just the stuff that's only half hidden. You can buy a court, you can buy the politicians, you can buy everyone. And I say to them, you cannot buy God. His judgments are true and righteous altogether. That's something to think about, isn't it? The sufficiency of Scripture, what Scripture can do. What creation can do is sufficient to condemn, but only the Word of God is sufficient to completely change and save a person. All right, we could finish this chapter. Let's just go down here. Let's talk about God's Word. There's no point finishing this chapter in the middle. This is just touching all of this stuff. You can go and study it out. Verse 10, it says, more to be desired are they than gold. God's Word should be our greatest possession. We want God's Word more than we want gold. We should love God's Word so much that it is the number one something in our life. This is what we want. It is our greatest possession. More than gold. Value God's Word more than anything else. It is sweeter than honey. Honey is sweet and honeycomb. It is awesome. We've got bees and beehives and all this stuff and it's nice. But God's Word is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. It is our greatest possession. It is our sweetest pleasure. Look at what it says, verse 11. It says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. It is our greatest protector. Do you know what it protects us from? It protects us from several things. It protects us from one, God's judgment. Read through Proverbs. It protects us from the strange woman, the strange man. It protects us because God sets these rules and these guidelines and say, hey, walk this way. You don't need to live a life of sin. As Christians, as young people being born into Christian homes and growing up in the church, that is a blessing. And you have, if you're saved, you've been saved from a life of sin. Don't want to experience all of this stuff. It protects us. It warns us. It says, don't do this. Don't go that way. Don't be like these people. Don't be like the world. You were dead, now you're alive. You were in the darkness, and now you're light. You are my children. Satan and God can't have fellowship. It protects us. It guides us. It warns us. And in keeping of them is great reward. Amen. Great reward. All right, definitely not preaching prosperity gospel here, but there is great reward. And you're talking eternal rewards, talking about spiritual rewards, blessings, growth in your own life. You see God work. How exciting is it when you see God work? Amen? It's like, oh, wow, you know what God did for me was just like so good, how he protected me or whatever like this. There is great reward. It is our greatest possession. It's our greatest pleasure. It's our greatest protector. It's our greatest provider. These passages. Let's look at this, the last prayer. A prayer of a Christian. I like this prayer. It says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I think David's praying, Lord, these secret sins that I have, cleanse me from them. You know, we are sinners. We have minds. We have feelings. We have things like this. We are sinners. Lord, keep back thee seek. Cleanse me, forgive me for my sins. Verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Lord, you know these things that we do. Show me through your word and I can grow. You know, show me what have I got. You know, it's like you hit something and you're doing something, or you hit a wall, or you're having a problem and what do you do? Well, what I do sometimes, I should do more often, I say, Lord, show me if I'm doing something wrong, if I've got some sin, if I've got something in the way, show me. Show me what it is so I can grow, so I can see what I'm doing wrong here or whatever's happened. You know, you just ask the Lord to show you. Keep me back from these sins, Lord. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright and be innocent from the great transgression. The great transgression. I don't want to commit the great transgression. What's a great transgression? That's an interesting thought, isn't it? I got a couple of thoughts about that. And I wonder if the great transgression for a Christian is to go into apostasy. Reject the Lord. I don't know. Could be. If you've got some other ideas, come and let me know. I believe in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says that you are better to have not known than to have known the way and turned away from it. That's a scary verse. And on those verses, comparing Scripture with Scripture, Old and New Testament, you can't lose your salvation, obviously, as a Christian, but many people have spent many years in church and then they obviously weren't saved. And that's a fearful thing. You're better to have not known. And that's where I fear for young people growing up in churches. Whoa. Kids, you know, listen to the Lord, listen to the Bible, listen to the pastor, listen to your parents in the church. Innocent of the great transgression. And verse 14, he prays, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What we do, what we say. God's a judge. Do you fear the Lord? Do we worship him the way we should? Do we love the Lord? Do we love the Word? How important is Scripture? Is it the ultimate authority? I believe it is. Yeah, it's God's Word. And it is completely able to save and change a person. And you got no other way. The heavens declare the glory of God. Amen.